Hey, everybody, on this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show, we're doing Season 2, Episode 5, Compromised. It's I Love the 80s Night on Legends of Tomorrow. Plus, we got a little David Caruso as the cherry on top. Get ready for Dave Child to dance. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Welcome, everybody, to I Love the 80s Night here on Legends of Tomorrow After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're bringing down Season 2, Episode 5, Compromised. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. This awesome man, busting a move.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild or DaveChild.com or in your dreams.
I love the wait there.
Yeah, it's my new catchphrase. Catching it on.
Wow. I am Lex Michael all over social media at the Lex Michael.
And I am Lucretia Lyon, all over social media at LACRETIALYON, since there is only one.
That's right.
A little bit of the Caruso.
Yeah, that's right there, like the little cherry on top. Yes. Oh, so, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Lex Michael needs those to live.
I drink 5-star reviews for nourishment, you guys.
That's right. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel or hop in the chat. Lucretia's got her computer out there, so feel free to chat away about your thoughts about Legends of Tomorrow in general or this episode in particular.
And I believe we do have an iTunes review. I'll pull it up here eventually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Because there's some good ones.
Great. Oh,
I can't wait. They like us. They really do.
They do?
We will be nourished this night.
At the end of the episode, we will read one fantastic review, or maybe not one fantastic review, just a thoughtful criticism.
As many of the good reviews as we could find.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed.
And then if we read a bad review, it'll be in a silly voice.
There you go.
But it'll probably be just good reviews.
And that's what we in the biz like to call a tease.
Are you teased?
So let's get into it. The compromise. Or just not the compromise. I keep wanting to add that little article.
Compromise.
It's just compromised. Yes, we get to start it off with, I think, everybody that we enjoyed that so much from the preview last week was seeing Damian Dark dressed up in his best Miami Vice gear.
The problem I had with this, though, is that he's not going to be dressed that way in every scene we see him in for the rest of the season, which means my heart will now break for what may have been every time.
Right. He at least they put him in it once.
Yes.
He has his hair works perfectly. At that age, in that time period, it was.
I really want Tobias Church to come and be part of Damian Dark's gang. They could be like coke dealers, and you got the brass knuckles, like so Vice City.
Yes.
Yeah.
I gotta imagine just how much excitement was going around in wardrobe when they were like, "All right, this is it in '87. Sweet, we get a Miami Vice. Yes, let's do it. All right,
we got it."
Neil McDonough just trying on that outfit for the first time. Like, all right, yeah.
But I'm sure he tried a series of them on. So if you're the costume team, right, you get to watch him parade around in a sequence of these Miami Vice uniforms. This is like, what a day that must have been.
Yeah, what color shirt goes with the white suit? Exactly where does it need to be on the sleeves? How far up?
And we see he's there actually trying to get a relic, another one of those relics. He's all about collecting relics.
He loves them relics.
Yes, a fascist, which is interesting. It was a weapon for the bodyguard of Nero, which is kind of cool. And it led to the word fascism.
You know what's nice about Legends of Tomorrow? It's a show about time-traveling superheroes, but you learn something sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, we learned where fascism comes from. Yeah.
Be careful, you might just learn something.
The more you know. Doo-doo.
It comes from like axes, tiny little axes that look like they have hot dogs strapped together.
That's true. Yes. Yeah.
That's what a fascist is, I guess. A little hot dog. The spiciest, most dangerous hot dog pack. That's what it is.
But we see before the deal goes through, we see our good old pal Eobard Thawne comes in and decides to interrupt it.
I'm always glad to see that guy.
He's cool. I love his jacket. His jacket's fantastic. It's cool to see him running around without the costume on all the time. Very cool.
Yes.
But it was interesting. I thought this, and I don't know how you guys felt about it too, because I assumed that maybe they'd been doing stuff in between their time in World War II till now. But no, it's been since that World War II episode. This is the first time that they've met since then.
Yes.
So that was kind of interesting. I thought they may have been cohorts throughout time, but just so far in these two periods.
Yeah. I also like how Dark has not been time traveling yet, but that's what the episode's ultimately leading up to. But in the beginning of this, he's just old dude. He's just Lazarus pitting it up or somehow surviving.
Yeah, frog watering. But we see him at the end of the episode. We do see him time travel, but presumably it's for the first time. And he seems like really... like tickled by this idea,
right? Yeah, and it's what I love, because it feels like so often you see Dark seems to be one step ahead of everybody. So I always love those moments when he's taken by surprise, and then like that always sells it really well.
Also, to skip ahead and just talk about the ending real quick, because it doesn't really have too much to do with the rest of the episode. But the device that they go into, that he sits into, looks a lot like what Rip Hunter actually used to travel time.
The Time Sphere.
In the Time Sphere. It looks a lot like the Time Sphere. So I thought that was a kind of nice nod to the original comic.
Yeah, and something like the Legion of Superheroes would also travel through time in something very similar to that as well. So that was really cool.
And not totally dissimilar either from the machine at the end of the first season of The Flash, right before we see Garrick's helmet for the first time.
Right. True.
So very cool to see that back.
Very much like a ride at your local county fair as well. That's what drew me back. Yeah.
That's right, they just get you in a glass sphere and then a bunch of drunk dudes just run around it really fast. This is great.
It reminds me of one of those toys that when you, like, you spin up and then it opens up. And then what if you have a little one of those toys and it opens up and then it looks like Reverse Flash and just, like, Dark sitting in the middle, like, awesome! I'll give that to the merch for Legends of Tomorrow.
There we go.
We can get Neil McDonough to record a awesome!
And what his catchphrase.
What I assumed was just like an already established relationship or partnership between those two from the first episode when they met in World War II. We find out, no, that was just really kind of a one-off thing. And Eobarthon is back to try to, like, hey, let's actually make this a partnership. And Dark's like, nah, you know, I prefer to work alone. I do my own thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But now he found out, he got like a little glimmer of what his future is going
to
be like.
Way to go, Sarah.
Sarah.
Which is like, it's a great way to put him in his place without sacrificing her integrity. But also now he has the drive to go do something different and change his destiny, as he says.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe not the best idea, as it turned out.
She pulled a Rip Hunter, or as Boo69B says, she pulled a Barry. But I say it's Rip. I mean, he created Vandal Savage pretty much in his little thing. So
true. And she's also, when they're like, how dare you try and travel around time to fix time for your own agenda? And I kept thinking, that's exactly why you guys are all here, to do that for Rip.
Yeah,
exactly. Rip left when it didn't work out.
And that seems to be like at least the big crux of the episode is what are the role of the Legends now? And Jax wants them to feel like, yeah, I think we can go back and we can make some changes in time to make everything for the better. And Stein is like, you don't know what those changes are going to have. You can't understand what the repercussions are. And I do like Jax's lines, like, are we just time janitors? Is that what we're doing? We're just
time janitors.
I love the time janitors. I was like, that and the lovable losers. I was like, that's good names.
I was going to say, lovable losers, I think, is actually a better name for the team than Legends.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Because every single time it opens up, like, we're not heroes, we're legends. I keep thinking, isn't that a bit more conceited?
Weirdly self-aggrandizing, guys.
Yeah.
Just see how it sounds, though, Dave Child. Give us that line. With lovable losers instead.
We're not heroes. We're lovable losers. See how much better that is? That's so much better. We're just turn into CWs. Lovable losers. LL. That's not bad.
Be DC's lovable losers.
I think.
DC's. For branding purposes.
Right, it'll be DC's lovable losers. It just sounds fun.
It does. It does really sound like a good time, like chummy buddy show.
Yeah.
Because I have to admit, with that, we've not seen any of the other shows address that team by name. So when they were getting rid of the four-way crossover, and we see Flash, Green Arrow, and somebody says, oh, we're the Legends. Like, whoa, hold on.
What?
Who are you people?
I'm a super.
I've been doing this for like 5 years already, guys.
I mean, that's a bit. I think we're all Legends in a way. No, we're the real Legends.
Who are you people?
We're lovable losers. Yeah. that makes more sense. Lovable losers makes more sense. Okay.
Got it.
Let's fight some aliens. I assume it's the opening to that.
No.
And I feel like Sarah's siding with Stein on that was just basically, you kind of knew as soon as she said that, she was going to be faced with, especially with Damian Dark in the episode. You know, at some point she's going to have to go against everything that's easy to say. Oh yeah, we're just going to keep time alone until her Achilles heel comes into the picture. Good old Damian Dark.
Yeah. Right. I like as soon as they mention Damian Dark, she's like, Oh, that was so wrong.
Gotta go kill that guy, even though I'm the leader assassin now.
And I'm in the middle of the White House.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Perfect place.
Go ahead.
Vidar DJ 16 Starkill. I've got your name right this time. Said they are Rips Rejects. That's also a
Rips
good
Rejects.
Yeah. Rips Rejects.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, it's not at all.
It's good.
Like these alliterated titles in there. Very nice. Yeah. Our other group, though, is Mick and Ray. Of course, is Ray going to be the next Captain Cold?
Or Colonel Cold? I'm surprised he didn't go with, like, Cold Ray at any point.
No!
Right? He has a ray gun now. Your name is Ray. Just use it.
And it was interesting to find out that it's like it's just not a gun, but it's also how you use the gun that makes it so effective.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
But it was very zen for Mick. And I liked the scenes where Mick actually got to behave as a mentor figure of sorts, because it's a very clear distinction from the Mick of season one, who would not have been capable, I think, of playing that role.
Right.
Yeah, I really love how he's progressed and how he just wanted his buddy back, and then he's like, but you're not him. And he's like, it's giving me feelings.
Feelings.
That sounds like very, like very Fonzie Zarelli-esque, where he's like, he could never say himself. I'm
Also, Freeze Ray would have been good too.
Freeze Ray would have been pretty good. Yeah. But I like seeing the like warm, gooey center in the middle of Heat Wave from time to time.
Ooh, yeah. Warm and gooey in the middle.
Because he's Heat Wave, it's all warm. Yeah.
I also like how we have, they do have this cool gun lying around. It makes sense that they would use it every once in a while and be like, why don't we give it to the guy that doesn't have powers or assassin abilities and see how he does. And I'm glad it's now gone. Like, I got the sense that that's, like, the path that the gun took.
But to me, it's like, all right, so he needs to disassemble the gun to stop that bomb in the White House state dinner. But I'm also thinking, like, well, then just put all the parts back.
Put it back together.
So if you can take it apart, you should be able to put it back together.
It was like a metaphor for his, like, personal growth and figuring out what his actual niche in the team is. But also, like, you're right, they could just put the gun back together. But I like that he figured out what his power is, and his power isn't the Atom suit. His power is, as they so eloquently put it, he can science his way out of anything. And I really like, because we talked last week briefly about, like, I would have rather seen him do exactly what he did than continue to use the cold gun. That feels very out of character for him.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work. And also, I while we're talking about powers, I thought, like, the use of powers in this episode was great. I feel like we saw different sides of people's powers than usually they just turn them on and then they hit people a lot. And we got to see
the bullets.
Yeah, the bullets melting with Firestorm. We also got to see Vixen
with the owl
use those eyes. Yeah. Use the eyes of a bird in order to see in the dark. That was great. I feel like with her especially, she tends to be a gorilla or just something that runs really fast and agile, and that's like what she uses the powers for.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see a little bit of a different turn on that.
And it was nice to see Animal Girl sort of come out of her shell and tell the story about, you know, his grandfather and things like that. It's like, oh, okay, we're getting a little bit softer here.
I was thinking about how, like, you know what is really great? How we talked a little bit a few episodes back, how we thought that her and Ray were going to be a love story. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't really want to see it, but I was like, okay, if they put the time into it, it'll be great. And in this episode, I felt like maybe they're not going to do a love story at all, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But then the way it ends really seems like it's foretelling, like, if you find love.
Well, it's when Obsidian says, like, if you have a chance at love again, be sure to, like, really hold on to it, whatever. And then he immediately, the reverse shot, he immediately steps
Steel
in the frame.
Steel comes out, goes and be like, hey, what's going on? Tell me more about my granddad.
I'm all about the buns of Steel, so as long as he gets naked, it's all
right. Like, right, and, like, sure, he's charming. Yeah. He's a charming man. I actually ship the two of them more than I would...
I think it's
Vixen and Ray.
I don't really care either way. I kind of wish they wouldn't do it, but it is CW, and
if they're going to do it at all,
if they're going to do it, just put the time into it, put the effort into it.
And his scene with her was a little more obviously going that way, but then they'd also sort of had scenes with her and Jax and her and Mick that were kind of like, What? Are they just trying to test and see who fits best? They're trying to see the comments, I kind of think.
Chemistry tests in each episode.
I still think, I mean, Rex was taken off the board so early and was such a big name, or, you know, a named actor playing the role of Iron Man that I don't think we've seen the last one. I think sometime by the end of the season, they're going to get him back a chance of time and prevent his death.
Do you think so Rex is the Hawkman of season two?
It's not going to be, I mean, because it's not like they're destined to be together.
No, right. Yeah. As far as the team member that's offed early on, and then eventually somewhere else in the time stream, they pluck him out and he rejoins.
Every season, they're just going to have a love lost animal theme female that's superhero who's just like,
well, season three.
Who's it going to be?
Well, Nate is showing his smarts at the beginning of the episode as he's talking with Amaya that he built a little thing that detects time quakes, or as Amaya says, like a time seismograph.
I'm totally using that.
Yeah. Also, timograph. Come on.
Lose that seisma, or seisma time.
I don't know. I feel like size timograph isn't that cool to be like, I'm using that.
Well, why wouldn't you take advantage of the fact that you could just call it something timequake or like timequake reader and just get to say timequake a lot?
That's true.
Yeah, the timequaker.
Exactly.
That just sounds like a time traveling Quaker.
It does.
The Quaker Oats guy that travels through time.
Or like,
have you heard about my oats?
Or like a really bizarrely themed wrestler.
Yeah, Quaker.
Time Quaker. And he's
but he still has a little bobby hair.
It's what you're describing, yeah, but he's a professional wrestler.
Will go through time.
I love how, you know, people are commenting on Vixen and who she's going to be with. Wikipedia thinks that Vixen is going to be with everyone. That sounds like fun. Boo69B says, if you want to ship someone, why not Sarah and Amaya?
What I like so far is, I mean, we're already five episodes in, and there's no obvious thing that we can really see them forcing anything happen together. I'm just cool with them all just hanging out being buddies.
Yes, exactly. And that's, I remember saying that a couple of weeks ago, the exact same thing. Like, I'm not opposed to it, like Dave, like you said, if they put the time in, but I come to this show to watch these guys just being awesome and hanging out together, so I don't need it. I'm not going to feel shorted if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, the only romance that needs to happen is Rip and Jonah Hex.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but that's happening. You know it is. Even if they never address it, it's happening. It's there.
Because I think it's a nice mix of some people have some personal investment, some people just have friendships and stuff, that I don't feel like adding a relationship on top of that is necessary to have a successful season.
Yeah, she was right. They don't need to fraternize.
Yeah,
that was an interesting thing. Yeah, because when they find out that there's a time quake back in 1987... they're going to go check out around Washington, D.C., December 7th, 1987. Right. It's a signing of a big treaty between Reagan and Gorbachev. And Martin Stein was there at the time.
So how do you guys feel about young Martin? Because there's parts of this character who we've now bumped into a couple of times, parts of this character that I absolutely adore, and parts of it, not even that I dislike, but I'm thoroughly bewildered by.
Well, I think that's kind of the point. I'm with old Martin on this, where it feels like, man, what an annoying asshat.
No, I would agree, because it's like...
I don't mean to be pointing at Frank. Yes. What an annoying... Oh, boy, he's the worst.
But Hubba Hubba, his wife was hot.
Yeah, I guess we reached the end of the Legends Finale's after show, guys. So like us on Facebook.
He was just 5 stars on iTunes.
Hey.
Oh, because I feel like young Stein, we're seeing all of old Stein's... I guess narcissistic tendencies or selfish tendencies without that wisdom added onto it. So you're seeing that strip bare and seeing that how it is.
I appreciate, too, that both versions of Stein, he's incredibly intelligent right up until the moment where he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's true. That's true of our present Stein, Victor Garber, as well. It's just like you say, he has those years of wisdom on top of it. So I feel like he starts bumping up against those walls maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, and he's always kind of been a little bit of an asshat, even from the even from the Flash days. You know, when we first meet him, he's kind of.
Yeah, I think Dickenstein works better. Ivan Soto says Jan Marty is the Dickenstein.
Dickenstein,
and it's also all caps.
Yeah. It is the Dickenstein.
I'm sorry if I blew. I just yelled away.
Dickenstein.
It sounds like a weird monster that I would not want to meet.
No?
Just all a monster made out of dicks. That's all I picture.
Beware.
It's like Castle Freak, only worse. Like if you if you've seen the movie, I just put a horrible image in your mind.
All right, sorry everyone. You're here to talk about time traveling fun superheroes, not weird dick monsters.
Dude, season three, sky's the limit.
Yep. That's true. Right. There you go. We do find out though that the plan is, hey, guess what? We're gonna send the majority of the team to break into the White House. We're going to send Nate and Amaya, because Amaya says, hey, why don't we touch base with the 1987 JSA? They got an academy here. We can get some help to make this happen.
You know, I'm glad we found out more about the JSA, because I wasn't very sure how the JSA worked into the world exactly, mm-hmm. because I thought maybe they were like how I know the JLA, which is a very public kind of, don't worry, don't be scared of superheroes. The Justice League exists, and they're helping people out, and everyone knows about the Justice League. But it sounds like the Justice Society is very secretive. Yeah, and I like that it's like behind the scenes.
Yeah, because like in the 50s in the comics, at least in the comic book stories and the history for that, in the 50s after like all the McCarthy hearings and stuff like that, they want the JSA to unmask themselves.
Right.
And they say, nope, we're not doing that. We're just taking off. See you later. And they disappear and they retire, essentially.
Yeah, and it also tracks with the continuity they've established in this CWDC universe as well, because when Oliver Queen first puts the hood on and starts doing his vigilante thing, nobody's going, you're just like those guys from the 40s and the 50s.
Just like the Justice Society.
There's totally precedent for this.
That's what I was thinking, too, especially when the Flash comes along. Right. It's like, oh, superpowers, like the Justice Society. Yeah, but it's secretive, and the only one that knows about it is a historian who was researching his grandfather, so it all kind of makes sense.
Yes. Time detective is what he prefers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Time detective.
That's right. But then when they get to the JSA Academy, which is supposed to be like, you know, the most elite training academy in the world, and they go in, you Rick already Dusty. Know it's already setting up for failure, because they walk in and it's deserted.
It's cobwebs, and
no one's cleaning it.
Except
no.
for Obsidian, who just happens to be standing up in the rafters.
I like to think he just heard an alarm and then went to, like, check it out.
Okay.
You know, like...
he's not just spending his days hanging out in
the
rafters.
I don't think he's been like, I'm just gonna see what the old Dusty...
but then
put more cobwebs up.
But where was he then? Like, before that, was he on the roof? Or, like, does he have an apartment above
maybe
it or something?
Maybe it's like his house is right connected to it or
he
something.
He just hangs out outside.
Yeah. He was great. I loved him.
Yeah.
I love Lance Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen. Oh, Millennium. Kept making me think about that old show.
It's
amazing.
Also, of course, Bishop and Aliens.
Yeah, of course.
Although I feel like because Obsidian kind of swaps away Nate and then goes to start talking to Amaya, turns back into his human form. But I feel like, I don't know, didn't Nate see him long enough to recognize that it was Obsidian? Because he cold cocks him right around again. I'm like, didn't you see that was Obsidian?
Well, okay, this is what, maybe he didn't recognize him because he's only met him once. And a lot of the Justice Society is secretive. And classified, so maybe he doesn't hasn't seen a lot of pictures of Obsidian.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but and also he kind of I think he realizes that after he clocks him, he immediately goes, oh wait a second. So I didn't mind it.
Too bad. And why did he have to use it? Why didn't he just steal up at that moment?
He's not in full control of those powers quite yet.
He's just sure.
He seemed pretty controlled in that big fight at the White House.
He's getting there.
Well, but it's just learning.
Plus, they've already got Obsidian doing his whoosh, whoosh, whoosh thing around the room, right?
Yeah,
it's another expensive effect in the same scene. Cut him some slack.
Could only use up so much of the budget, you know?
We do find out that as Stein was warning Jax, though, that all those little messing around with time is called temporal ripples, the temporal domino effect. So Stein
or temp ripples.
Yes.
I just like to combine everything into one stupid word.
So Stein's at the White House, and he sees all this stuff going on. So he knows that Dark's now an advisor for Reagan. And I do like we get to see Ray and Mick walking around seeing Reagan's jelly beans.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea that Reagan's like, well, I eat too many jelly beans in the Oval Office, so make sure to put it in the hallway in a big old jar, but no one could touch them. No one but Reggie boy. Oh, Reggie, those are only for him. Right. If anyone touches him, that's him trying to be a bad boy. Keep away from Reggie's. I'm sorry, I'm too much fun. Jelly beans.
I don't know, that's how we punctuate the end of that talk. Jelly beans.
We need jelly sticks beans. As you as Reagan now.
Yeah, immediately.
Oh, hey.
Can we just do a web series where we're seeing like those deleted scenes from each episode of Legend of Tomorrow, and Dave Child will fill in those like just off the side, so we have a little Ronald Reagan moment.
What's happening downstairs? Oh no, Rocket Man! I don't like Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
I need my jelly beans. Too bad they're so far away from me right now. Old Reggie's losing steam. All right, let's move on.
Jonathan Dimming says hashtag Jelly Bean Gate.
Jelly Bean Gate. Perfect.
So, of course, now that they announced that Dark's in the house, Sarah goes crazy.
Dark's in the house.
Dark's in the house. I did write that. I did write that later on. Yeah. Dark's in the house. And so Sarah wants to go stab him. Secret Service is on top of her.
Yep.
Ray and Mick are there to help her out. And I do like when Mick says, do we run or fight? And Ray's the one that actually says, no, we fight, which seems very uncharacteristic of Ray.
He gets weirdly into it for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think this is Ray's arc, and this one is like really trying to figure out who he is, and maybe he needs like a gun to be a bad person. And I like this a lot better than him just whining about not having superpowers.
Yes. Yeah.
I like
absolutely.
Him trying to do. I was on Flash and Friends the other day, just talking about Legends of Tomorrow, and I realized we were talking about last week's episode, which I missed, and how it was like in an episode full of like real acknowledgement of slavery and trouble and racism. You still have this whiny billionaire white guy who's just like, I don't have any powers. Well, now I got a new toy. And I'm glad that he's seeing how it's like, you know, just as useless in a lot of ways as everything else. And he needs to figure out what he has personally.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good one of the storylines.
Go.
I was just going to say the character growth of Ray just by losing his suit and going through all this is really interesting because, yeah, it's like, you know, you had powers. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
Where did he get Snart's jacket from? Like, that seems like that'd be a weird, a decision for him to make and then to go pull it from wherever it is. Like, is it just in a property locker with his, like, his old stuff?
I think he took it from Rory's closet.
Yeah. Right. Like,
that
he
uses as a pillow to just, like, smells every now and then.
Is this Supergirl again, Lex? You always wonder where they get the clothes.
Seriously, I'm going, like, these are great, but, like, what's happening? And, like, did he really, like, go into Rory's cabin? Because, like, when he shows up in the van.
He still has all of his stuff. They didn't just throw it out of the temporal vortex.
He's
or
dead.
He's dead.
Ship's too heavy.
but no, like Rory seems genuinely startled and upset when he realizes that that Ray is wearing Snart's jacket. So I'm wondering, like, where'd he go? Like, where'd he go grab it from?
Yeah, it's a real invasion of
Sarah's room.
Could be in Sarah's or Rory's room. Yeah. I think.
There you go.
Yeah, they each had one.
Or they should just build a little like the arrow. Little monument to the person.
A chocolate bunny statue of Snart.
Yeah, or a Batman, thing, and just have it in the library that they have there or something.
Now, the one thing that, I don't know if this irritated you guys at all. So we do the scene where Sarah, Mick, and Rory are fighting all the Secret Service agents inside the White House.
Uh-huh.
They come back at the end of the episode for the state dinner and just cruise into the White House, and nobody gives them a second look.
Didn't even notice.
Really?
I didn't even notice.
In broad daylight, you're fighting these guys up close. They have a description of you guys, and you guys just walked right in again?
The 80s were a different time.
You know what?
Everyone was on drugs.
I think Legends of Tomorrow, and this is what I love about the show, is I think it's in full shark repellent spray, Batman 1966 wackiness. And I gloss over.
So because they wore different clothes, like they're not going to recognize.
Well, think about that moment later where in the one scene, Stein's wife clearly recognizes Jax. And then as soon as he shows up in the Firestorm outfit with white eyes, she's like, who are you?
Okay. My reasoning for that, and I know I'm kind of the apologetist.
Apologist?
Yeah, sure. Apologentilist of this episode, but... During when that comes up, I at first read that as why don't you recognize him, but then I thought maybe if a person with fire powers, even if it was like you and you suddenly had fire powers, part of me would be like, wait, who or what are you? I think it was kind of more of a what are you?
No, come on. If Lex showed up with fire powers, you would not like, I don't know what some guy showed up here with fire powers. Oh, Lex, hey, how you doing, buddy? You wouldn't believe what came over. Some guy with fire powers just walked right in front of me.
It's not that I don't recognize him. What I'm saying is it's she's saying, who are you? But she's really saying, what are you? Like, what are you that you have?
So it's the difference between who are you and who are you?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was saying it was that sort of thing.
I don't know that I read it the same way, but I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying you can read it that way. There's different ways, and I would be like, who are you? Maybe it's more of that.
But it was more to your earlier point about how it's in keeping tonally with the idea that there's some of this stuff we're just not meant to read that far into.
Also, I was thinking, like, Jax was like, I'm gonna check in with your very hot wife at her hotel place, and tell her why you're not showing up. And I was thinking, dude, you are psychically connected to the husband. You're already kind of partly attracted to her. You're gonna bone Stein's wife,
and that would have been really funny. But yeah, we've got some good. segue into the chat here. Jonathan Dimming said, "Fire hair is the new hood for hiding identity," and Sivaram says that Lex is Prometheus, not Firestorm.
Yes, I am in fact rumored heavily to be Prometheus. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I like that.
Or maybe you're Alchemy. I think you might be Alchemy.
Sure Frank Moran is Alchemy, actually.
No. All right. Great, yeah.
And I'm Gorilla.
it was cool to see, as Dave was mentioning, like another use of Firestorm's powers. And what we traditionally see is him just throwing up like a little heat shield.
Yeah.
But I also missed that because I know they're trying to work on the transmutation part of his powers as well. So I really wanted to see him change those bullets into something else, like flowers or something like that at the moment. Yeah.
Right. That's true. They haven't really used that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she doesn't recognize him, is that his face is transmutated. But it's like in Valkyrie, where they're all German, but they're speaking English for the audience's benefit. Yeah. He still looks like Jax, but his face is transmogrified.
It's just a melty skull.
It's like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Who are you? That's more of the reading.
I did like, though, we get a nice sweet 80s news broadcast, though. 52 Action News.
Yeah, yes. New 52, anyone?
Yeah.
Well, so apparently Channel 52, as it currently exists on Arrow, has apparently been around for several decades. So good for them.
Yeah, and just like that 80s look of it was just so nice.
Yeah, nice little, like, with the lines of VHS lines. That was cool.
And then we get into the big debate about this episode. As Jack says to Sarah, is it okay to change history if it's for your own personal vendetta?
Right.
No.
But also, you're changing history all the time. That's what they're doing all the time. There's so many flashpoints now.
True, because you think of every one of those Civil War soldiers that died last episode as zombies. You know, or whatever they were turned into. I mean, who knows all the ramifications, just that small amount of people that had died.
It's a good point. Like, statistically, a few of them probably would have died in battle anyway, but they may have died sooner. They may have changed the course of a few battles. Like, we went pretty quickly into other business from the Civil War. Have we looked back at the timeline and seen, like, made sure everything was still okay?
Maybe now Leonard Skinner doesn't exist.
I mean, God.
No free bird. Could have been now their ancestor is a zombie, a Confederate zombie. I was trying to think of who would have Confederate like ties, and I thought of Leonard Skinner.
Well, I might have gone to a different high school.
I did like, though, the scene, though, because Stein and Sarah have an argument about this whole thing about revenge, it gets dark, and how much that is important. You need to let history run at least somewhat its natural course, even though we're kind of making little ripples along the way. And Sarah's point was like, you know, my sister would have sacrificed everything. It'd be terrible of me not to do the same for her.
Yeah.
But and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there is an interesting argument there from a couple of different angles. And I understand, too, like, Damian Dark would live another several decades, and presumably he's not doing anything nice in those intervening years.
Probably.
So you could actually, it's the same thing with, like, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? But you could off Damian Dark 30 some odd years before he originally died and maybe save a whole bunch of lives. But you don't know. Damian Dark might have been in a Starbucks one day and, like, made like tossed somebody a quarter because he thought it was funny, like, that he could mock them in such a fashion, and maybe to change that person's life, and, like, they go and they do something good. I'm saying, like, time ripples, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Starbucks is important.
Starbucks is the key. That's actually, like, the hub where they blew up in the first season as a Starbucks.
This AfterBuzz brought to you by Starbucks.
Point being, even eliminating somebody as dangerous and destructive as Damian Dark from the timeline could potentially have so many unintended consequences as well, as we've seen over and over again. So generally speaking, like, no, just don't. Just
no, it's true. Yeah. And I'm glad that they address this, because certainly it is Sarah's Achilles heel. And I can understand where she's coming from for this. But if she's ostensibly the leader of the Legends now, I mean, you have her just be so quick to just kind of go red like a shark. Her eyes roll back in her head at the mention of Damian Dark. Like, not really.
For a second, I heard to have her be so quick to go ride a shark.
Yeah. I was like, what?
And then have her eyes roll back.
That's right. I'm riding a shark.
Jedi riding a shark.
Yeah.
Right. Although, to be fair, still a better captain than Rip.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh. So, yeah.
Because
so,
she does check herself before she wrecks herself.
I do have to say.
And not after.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to say, like, and I don't want to get too political here, but after this bad week, it was nice for me, at least, to see a woman in a pantsuit kicking ass in the White House.
Yeah.
For just, like, even if it's fictional and she's really an assassin. But it was nice to see that have this, like, really kind of great moment where she's using her heels to, like, beat up this big guy.
Yeah. And what a great line whenever Vixen's talking about, aren't men and women equal now? And, you know, talking about the shoulder pads. And he's like, well, keep that hope alive.
Yeah, keep it alive. And vote. Vote
often.
And we see that even though at the end of the episode, Sarah says, like, you know, I'm not going to be a vigilante. I'm not going to be an assassin. I'm now the captain of this team. I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to spare your life. But she still then goes on to break down Damian Dark's future for him. Which, you know, of course, not knowing that he's going to have time travel at his disposal in a moment to be able to change his future. Still, maybe not the best idea.
No.
I mean, she wanted to do something. I would have shot him in the leg or something. I would have, like, tried to cripple him, but he does have Lazarus Pit.
Mm.
So, I don't know. The only thing she could do is try and cripple his ego. And by saying, you're going to lose this fight no matter what.
Yeah.
And doing it in a convincing, detailed way is probably the only way to actually convince him of that.
Yeah,
and it probably doomed him.
No, it's true. And it's always cool to see his facade crack a little bit when she mentions the Ark and his wife and, like, killing his, you know, trying to kill his daughter.
By the way, the season of Arrow she just described sounded great. I wish it was as good as the way she kind of, like, described what happened with Dark, which. It was fine. It's just one of the weakest ones.
But Damian Dark, like, dies in a boxing match in the street.
Yeah. I mean, I like Dark in this show a lot better than I did in that show. He gets to kind of show off his full supervillaininess.
It fits him better because he's a campy villain. Arrow is not for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Arrow doesn't know what it's for, but
I think that's exactly what it is that he is such a broad, almost, well, he is very comic booky, and Arrow is the least comic booky of all these shows, and it's just a weird tonal disparity to have him walking around being super, like, in the best possible way, a little bit, like, scenery chewy and over the top. It, like, doesn't gel quite as well. Here, it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Merlin will do the same. You know, it's like, the more they progress that character into letting it be John Barrowman, it's like, now he belongs over here in the fun show.
Yeah.
But I do love Arrow.
Again, what I said last week, just get rid of that robot hand. Just come on. There's something better. There's got to be something better.
Or, like, just a more discreet robot hand.
I just want, like, one arrow. Just one tiny arrow just sticking out.
Like, it's like it's like Aquaman when he had the harpoon for a hand.
Yes.
But it's just a little tiny arrow.
That's my favorite Aquaman. Yeah. By far my favorite Aquaman.
Maybe he just shoots arrows like Spider-Man out of his wrist.
Yeah, he has a little, like, crossbow.
No.
We do see time change also a little bit, too, because while Ray and Rory are out doing a stakeout on Damian Dark, young Martin Stein comes in and tried to make his pitch about, like, hey, I want you to give this proposal to the president. And notices him talking to a KGB guy, and then Gold Dark stabs him.
And, like, he just stands there piecing it together out loud, like processing it externally, and is, like, digging himself a nice little hole. Instead of just, like, running. Like, once you realize, like, oh, this is it's KGB, I know what's happening here. Your next move should be, like, goodbye.
But that's very, to be honest, that's very Stein.
Oh, like, yes.
That's how Stein reacts to everything.
Oh, that's absolutely, I totally buy his behavior, but I'm watching going, like, dude, no, don't just, like, go anywhere. No, just do anything but stand there. Just, like, some motion. Distract them. Wave your arms.
He's not a man of action. He's a man of theory and thinking.
Sure.
I'll have to give it up for Rory, though, this episode. Just so many great lines. Like, when they're in the van, Ray's bringing out apple slices. You know, he just tosses them out the window. Then the music starts playing from the 80s. Then he smashes the radio. I hate the 80s. Yeah. And then it cuts to Sarah in the Wave Rider. Any update? It's like, not yet. She's screaming. I was like, all right. I love it.
Yeah.
More of that.
Steel had some great moments this episode, too. Like, yes. I love the when he's in the middle of the fight and he realizes he's about to smash Mary Todd's hope chest. Yeah. And I was like, oh, cool, Mary Todd's hope chest. And then it gets smashed and he's like, hey, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
And that was a nice little like, oh, he is a history nerd.
And it's nice to like touch on that occasionally because it's easy to lose that part of his personality if we're not dealing directly with more of the JLA or JSA rather. We lose his history nerdiness in the superheroics. So it's nice to have little moments where you...
And it's also good to use it in not a plot device to get to the next thing. So it's like, well, he's a time detective, so we'll say this. Use it in a funny character building like joke. So I thought that was actually great writing.
Yes.
And also when they win the day and he asks like, oh, should we hug? I feel like, are we going to hug? And Sarah says, just this once. And he's like, there's going to be more. That was adorable. And that was great. I love him in the team.
Yeah, I think he's blended in so well with this team this season. I mean, there's no speed bumps. He just fit right in.
Right.
Yes. And I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one who has a super crush on him. The way that Dave talked about him, too. I'm like,
Buds of Steel.
I know. Yeah. So. Exactly. And I'm just like, he fits perfectly.
Why, Dave? Why?
Send me your tweets. Send me your angry tweets.
I disagree with neither of you, and I love the hug moment a lot as well, and it is exactly what we're talking about. It's a perfect moment of these two people being awesome, kicking ass, but then also being buddies, demonstrating mutual love and respect. I love it. Makes my heart sing.
Yeah.
I feel like they just introduced the character so much better this season. I feel like you get the time component that Rip had in Nate, but they just have it just much more integrated with the team, and it's just so much better this season. Really like it. So at the end, though, it's a big fight with everybody. Dark is trying to get they want to get the kick-ass CD-ROM with all the nuclear codes in exchange for something that's in a box. A nice engagement ring or something.
I kept thinking, by the way, like when he gave him the CD-ROM, that reminded me of the first CD-ROM I got, which was Elton John from McDonald's. And we got it for free, and it was about this thick. Mm-hmm. It's super thick, and I was like, oh, wow, I got a CD-ROM now. What the hell do I play it on? What is the KGB? Do they have a CD-ROM player? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, if it's the Russian government, maybe. I'm now more intrigued by what Elton John's CD-ROM you got from McDonald's.
It's best of. It was best of.
Wow. So it was like a little like promotional release.
Yeah, this was like, hey, CD-ROMs exist now.
Okay.
Get a free CD-ROM from McDonald's. We had an Elton. It was the first CD-ROM.
I didn't know if there was like some weird Elton John's Adventures in McDonaldland game that I missed out on in my youth. I've been very upset.
Cool. That would be cool. Though.
And then we see Obsidian follows Dark and is able to dodge some bullets until Vixen shows up. Right. And I understand, like, Vixen just, where's that amulet? Why isn't she summoning some power to be faster than to dodge that bullet? But she just stands there and then lets Dark take a shot at her.
You know, it's fast. And she just kind of showed up. I mean.
Come on now. Why she didn't even get into it right away? Just like, hey, pick some animal power. You know you're going to be fighting some dude. Let's come into it.
But she didn't know, to be fair, she was going to be fighting a dude right that second as she came around the corner. She did. Bullets move fast, Frank. Yeah. I don't know if you know.
That seemed like it was a fast, like...
Why would you wait till the last second? They're like, hey, I should activate my superpower, too. Yeah. Oh, okay.
She didn't know what power to activate.
She probably had just enough time to go, wait a
Honestly, I'm with you on this, Frank. Because, she bragged about how awesome she was, even without that amulet to Ray and shit on him. So you know it's what? Like, meh, yep.
Exactly. Next time you're in a gunfight, let me know how fast you react. And I think sometimes you mess up. And sometimes you need a teleporting Lance Hendrickson to really help you out.
I'm just glad. I was worried that they were going to kill him off in this episode. I was like, please don't kill him off.
No.
I'm glad that was not the case.
And then I was going to say, if he got killed off, I was going to be like, she needs to stay away from Buns of Steel there. Because, if everybody around you dies, honey, don't touch him.
What? I'm relieved, too, because considering all that they've been through, all the crazy, future tech they've been bombarded with, all of the injuries they sustained, as close to death as they've all come, It would be really anticlimactic. It was like, what happened to Obsidian? Oh, somebody shot him. That's it. We couldn't save him. We couldn't save Obsidian. Bummer, guys. Mm. All right, let's go through time with our space technology now. I appreciate that they were able to clean him up. No muss, no fuss.
It was also nice to have Vixen say, I'll fix this. I have a time machine.
Yes.
Don't worry. It could be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're actually talking about fixing their mistakes, too.
But her last interaction with Obsidian goes, you know, it was just like old times. Like, it was about a week ago for you, Vixen. So, really, like, old times? It was like a week that you were back in 1942.
Also,
fighting Alex Tai with him.
Also, lay off Lance Hendrickson about how old he is. Come on. There were so many old jokes. It was like, we'll go get Vixen's old friend. And I do mean old friend. I'm like, whoa, relax. Calm down. He's just an old guy. Don't freak out over, like, it's the CW. Can you believe all this white hair we have around us? Oh, weird. Just, come on.
We also get a nice moment between the Steins as everybody's healed up thanks to Gideon the Wave Rider. And as we're walking out, I like young Stein is so, like, thinks that old Stein is so arrogant for not sharing any of the secrets of the Wave Rider with him. You could advance our, you know, our research by decades by showing me now.
I kept wondering if he's, as he's giving this pep talk, to be like, your wife should be the most important thing to you. And then after a while, what would this be like, but also, you know, still work. Very hard.
Yeah, like
I don't want you to be totally devoted to your wife and not leave your work behind, because you need to at least get to the point I'm at right now.
I mean, you know, if you seem like 90-10, maybe dial back 70-30. 70-30.
Yeah,
70-30. 60-40, somewhere around there. You know, just whatever it's gonna take.
But I liked that scene too. Like, I thought the emotional beat totally landed for me.
I thought so too.
Really, in a really sweet moment, especially when we've spent even tonight some time talking about how both versions of Stein are essentially asshats, I believe is the word that you
use. Yeah, asshats.
Really, Dickenstein.
Dickenstein. Really, really nice, genuine, emotional moment and a really honest moment between the two of them. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
You just got to let love in that heart. Just, you know, little love in your heart, right?
Little love.
Yeah.
Little love in your heart.
And then we have the episode there. We've got Thawne and Dark. And Dark now wants to change his destiny. So guess what? I've got this sweet little time sphere. Hop on in.
Get in this snow globe, baby. We're going to shake it up.
And I love how he didn't question it at all. He just got in there. I'm like, you know, this guy runs really fast and is kind of like shady. You don't think he's not going to murder you? But I guess they trust each other.
Well, to be fair, though, two things. One, Damian Dark is super powerful. He's got an unnaturally long life, and he's probably pretty cocky. On top of which, clearly, he believed Sarah. So he assumes, like, well, if that's my destiny, what do I have to lose then? So it actually makes some sense. I keep, though, in my head coming back to the look on his face as he realizes, like, I'm going to go through time. His face, that's like me watching this show every single week, Damian Dark in this little sphere going through time.
And we do get, finally, the Legends get the first hint that there's something more afoot than just Damian Dark. They get an idea, at least an inkling who this time traveler is. They know it's a speedster.
Yeah. So, and they know that it's a speedster. I guess they don't know who the Reverse Flash is, so they can't be like, it's the Reverse Flash.
No, as far as we got is, like the Flash, faster. How do you know that?
Yeah, you've never seen the Flash.
He's moving so quick. I assume nothing else moves that fast.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to assume that's because I don't think Sarah's actually met the Flash, so she's probably heard about the Flash.
She knows some people that know him.
Yeah.
So she's probably like, oh, it's a really fast guy.
And raised by the Flash, like, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But seeing like a Flash in real life, I think you would say faster than you would expect.
Sure.
Maybe that's it.
You're right.
So she's not actually like, I clocked him at 200 miles an hour rather than
faster.
Yeah, definitely faster. No, nothing like that.
So I guess that brings us to the end of the episode. So we'll do just a lightning fast round of predictions.
And I'm wondering what's going on.
TV predictions.
What's going on in the chat there?
Lex is getting so much love from Sky Patterson. Lex is worth a million. Lex for Handsome King.
Somebody said, though, Lex for, I think it was Sky, right?
Yep.
Said Lex for Vice Prez and Dave Child for Prez.
Ooh,
Sky Patterson.
I will serve the Dave Child administration.
Sure. It's going to be better than this.
I'm going to talk to Richie Sky on Box Office Break. Down Sky about your comments right there. I thought he was number one in your heart. I guess not. It's sad to see. But one question I want to ask you guys is that we see this box that Damian Dark's got. He got it from the KGB. It's a little box. What do you think was in this exciting box that Damian Dark was so sad that he lost?
I mean, it's probably some other little bit of magical junk, right?
Yeah, probably a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
No, probably not. But I want it to be.
Yeah, that would be way cool. Because, it's coming from the KGB. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be something cool.
I mean, the fact that they didn't show it to us, I feel like means that we are going to see it at some point. It has to have some bearing on it. So
maybe it's that orb thing that they had. Isn't that the thing from previous season? Didn't they have an orb, the KGB? And then Stein had to hold. That was big. That was big.
Yeah, when they were doing like the Soviet firestorm thing.
Yeah, I was thinking if it was like linked to maybe the Soviet firestorm story.
Okay,
somehow
maybe
but possibly that was bigger. That
maybe
was like
it's linked to Bratva.
Hand size.
Yeah, because that was the only like really major superhero they've ever had. It was like Rocket Red. You know, so I'm like, well, but that's not really a relic or anything like that. So I don't know what it could be inside that box.
But it could also be there's nothing that says it has to have come from previous eras in the time stream. This could be something that came from some other point on the timeline and ended
time.
Up there.
Yeah, right, very true. Right. Ooh, so I don't know.
Well, who from the Legion of Doom have we yet to see? We're going to see Captain Cold.
Yes, Snart's going to come back. Obviously, Malcolm Merlyn.
And Malcolm Merlyn. So I don't know if it has anything to do with those. Maybe Ra's al Ghul's ring? I don't know.
Yeah, that would be cool, but I like Jonathan Dimming's suggestion that it's a clue to find Sidney Palmer.
Yeah, it would be nice to get her kind of in there, right? Because I've been wanting them to build up, like, that's the fiance, right?
Oh, no, it's Ray's brother that looked a lot like him that the statue really was.
It's a dude.
So it's just Brandon playing another role. I'd like to see that. Because I like soap operas. Maybe it's
His twin brother he randomly has. That's right.
Yeah, his brother looks a lot like me. But
yeah.
It could be a little tiny baby hand that will then grow up to be Merlin's new
hand.
Human hand.
That would be awesome.
What if he has just a baby hand the whole time? Like Deadpool.
I don't know. Maybe it's like another tiny suit. It's like another shrinking suit from another point in the timeline.
That's a good idea.
That could be something.
Then he'll get the suit back.
There's no way we get to the end of the season without Ray getting tiny again.
Yeah, but I also think like Dark would have no concept of what that is, so he gets, it's a tiny suit. Cool, what am I going to do with this? It's an action figure.
He does his little Civil War diorama and puts it in it. Puts it on a horse.
I'm still hoping he somehow gets like shrink powers without a suit.
Please, because I think like this is showing you that we were able to do Ray really exciting and really interesting character moments and not require the use of the Atom suit. So put him in like the old school comic book version of the Atom, and I think we can still do some really cool stuff with them.
Give him a belt.
Give him a belt. Buckle. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to do it for this episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. Yeah. But, as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Lex Michael's been drinking your 5 stars from previous reviews.
They're delicious.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I know, Lucretia, were you able to pull up one 5-star review from iTunes?
Yes, we have 2 from this year.
Give us one here, real quick.
All right. So the last one was from JD Writes 101. He says, great shows, great panel. The panel for Legends is one of my favorites for the sole reason the hosts have great chemistry and come up with some great ideas. Not to mention they are funny as they are witty.
I like it.
Look at that. Thanks, everyone. That warms the cold cockles of my heart. You can also subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. Thanks so much for hopping in the chat, everybody. We love hearing your comments about the show. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Lucretia, where can they find you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
I am Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael.
I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MRDaveChild and DaveChild.com. Be good, everyone. Be good to one another.
For real.
And maybe volunteer and help out as much as you can. It's going to be a tough 4 years.
Yep.
But we can do it together, folks.
Yeah.
Look at that. Hey, everybody. You follow me on Twitter at EpicoJackie. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Legends Tomorrow After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hashtag jelly beans.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.